hurts the product and the league quality when somebody falls that far behind. So when you reboot a league in the middle of the season, or at least make some type of change where you can make drastic change and improvements to your roster, I think it keeps everybody's attention and buy-in to the league all the more strong the second half of the season. I just know that people have been frustrated when the lower-tier teams in a 12-team league start waning and stop paying attention, because it does hurt the overall quality.
That's interesting, because you're right. I think in those non-keeper leagues especially, keeper leagues are a totally different animal, because if you're willing to make trades like that, you're obviously doing that to forfeit maybe a star player or a key contributor to move up a few spots in your draft next year. But you're right, in those non-keeper leagues, yeah, it's interesting, because there are guys who will get into these leagues, they're really interested, that all of a sudden they get into the middle of July, they stop checking their lineups, they stop making transactions, and they just kind of give up on the season. You're right. So I guess from that perspective, sure. Absolutely, no question about it. Again, we're speaking with Ryan Fowler of Fox Sports here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Let's transition now to football. True. I mean, we're getting there, man. I mean, we're two months away from the prime of the draft season. When you take a look at these tight ends, and I know we've briefly discussed this position before, but if you take a look at the tight ends right now, I think you've got that top tier. You've got that top tier with maybe two or three guys, and then there's a little bit of a drop-off, and then after that second tier, it really kind of feels like you fall off the cliff. Is it safe to say that if you don't get one of the top six to eight guys, that you really fall off that cliff in a hurry? So if you don't get those top six to eight guys, you can pretty much wait until towards the end of the draft to get the guy, to get a guy with the same kind of value?
Yeah, I actually participated in another fantasy football draft for a magazine last night. So again, it depends. Now, I will say this. Your overall assessment is right. I think you also need to – it also depends on who you are playing with in said league. Do you know the people? Have you played with them for many years? Because how tight ends fall in a draft also depends on overall strategy of the guys that are in your league. Because you mentioned that top tier. Rob Gronkowski, Jordan Reed, Greg Olsen, and maybe Travis Kelce. I should probably mention him before Greg Olsen, because Travis Kelce is probably going to take another step in the right direction. Then you also have to consider PPR versus standard scoring leagues, points per reception. I think a lot of those top-tier tight ends are going to fall off the board before the fourth round. But your overall assessment is right. If you don't get one of those top three guys, I really do think you're going to wait, because the popular trend right now is you're going to wait on a quarterback and you're going to wait on your tight end, and you're just going to load up at RB and wide receiver as much as you can through those first five or six rounds. Now, Aaron Rodgers will probably fall off the board in the third, early fourth at the latest. Drew Brees and Andrew Luck the same. But I really just, man, when you look at, you mentioned tiers. So if you look at the top tier of tight ends and then you look at the second and third tier, I would just wait. I mean, you can get a guy like Cameron Bray, who was a top four tight end the second half of last season. And yes, the Buccaneers drafted O.J. Howard. But when Cameron Bray is available in the 10th, 11th, 12th round, just wait. There's no rush after Gronk, Reed, and Kelce are off the board to say, oh my gosh, I need to do that. Look at the wide receivers and running backs on the board before you even think, oh, I need to fill that tight end position, because there's going to be equal value. When you really chop it up and you say weeks 1 through 16, here's the difference between tight end 4 and tight end 12. It's not that much. That's not that big of a difference when you know that you can get a greater impact player at the running back or wide receiver position. So I completely agree. I think when you look at the tendency of draft strategy right now, load up on those running backs and wide receivers through the first five rounds, and then wait on that tight end probably in the eighth, ninth round if you don't get one of the top three.
There's not enough time for us to discuss it today, but you threw a name out there when you were going through some quarterbacks that I'm awfully intrigued by. Maybe not for all the best reasons, but we're going to save that one for next week, because I know the more we get into that position, some more names are going to pop up, but you threw a name out there that I certainly want to talk about next week.
We'll finish it up next week.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. Absolutely. And we'll end on this note, and it seems like we end on this note every week. Our daily food for thought today, of course, sponsored by Anchor's Grill and Deli. We're bringing up one of our childhood favorites, although it's got a little bit of a wrinkle. Strawberry Kit Kats. Are you in or are you out?
The short answer, sell. You know what's funny about the strawberry Kit Kat? I know that the Japanese market of Kit Kats is a huge business. They have all the crazy flavors. So if you know anybody overseas in Japan, that Kit Kat market, I mean, they have green tea, they have strawberry, they have cherry, I think they have root beer flavored. So what we do with Oreos here in Japan, they love their Kit Kats over there. I'm a seller on strawberry. Just give me the straight and narrow Kit Kat as it is. And I'm partial to the left one than the right one. But, I mean, that you could take it or leave it there. I think Kit Kats in their original form is the way to go. What about you?
Holy cow. Okay, that's the second nay for strawberry Kit Kat. I had no idea that Japan went as wild with their Kit Kats as we do with our Oreos here.
Google it during the break, and then I don't know how much time you got left. Just make sure you Google that, because it's probably a segment in itself.
Holy cow. So they make green tea and root beer flavored Kit Kats?
I might be facetious on the root beer, but I do know for a fact they make green tea, and they have a ton of flavors. I always thought that was fascinating, because there are some blogs out there that track the random flavors of different candies and things like that. I mean, there's a blog for everything, so there's definitely a blog for all the different flavors of Kit Kat overseas.
Wow. Well, great stuff as always, my friend. Always very, very informative. And we really kind of got the chance to see some of your depth there, not just in fantasy sports, but also your extensive knowledge on different flavors of Kit Kats overseas.
Well, just wait till we get to Christmas time. We'll chop up eggnog for at least a good 5 minutes.
Well, that's a long ways away, but I know it'll be here before we know it. What's going on this weekend at OhioMemories.com?
Yeah, you know, it's now we're into baseball season. You said we're passing the torch on from the Cavs to some Indians in this 500 baseball. Don't knock it. I know a lot of people are ready to say this is awful, blah, blah, blah. You know what? Take a 500 team and let's see what they do in August and September, where they've thrived in recent years. But a great baseball selection of tees at OhioMemories.com. Buy two, get free shipping, OhioMemories.com.
He said he might even be able to talk to some of his friends overseas and throw in a green tea Kit Kat as well. Fowler, thanks as always, man. Have a good weekend.